We have some great guests lined up for tonight's show. Former UVA track captain and defensive tackle Ron Carey will visit later in this half hour, as will Dr. Jody Smith of West End Orthopedic Clinic to help us review UVA's injuries. And then we will also be bringing on Times Dispatch sports writer Michael Phillips, who will be joining us a little bit after the bottom of the hour. We're glad that you've joined us tonight, and I can't wait to get started.
We encourage you to send questions and comments via email to whostalking@sportsradio910.com or call in at 345-0910. We are also streaming live on sportsradio910.com as well as thesaber.com. Our shows are archived on the Saber. We've also set up a Facebook page, so search Who's Talking and become a fan. Frank Maloney was the Who's Talking ambassador, made the trip to Chapel Hill. So, Frank, we're waiting for your analysis of the Virginia victory at Keenan Stadium.
Well, first off, it was very exciting to travel down to Chapel Hill. I have been to that stadium many, many years ago, but this was the first time in modern UVA football history, and it is a beautiful place. They've got beautiful pine trees, and the only thing you have to put up with is all that Carolina blue, the T-shirts, the hats, and apparently it's a mandatory rule to get into the stadium. You've got to wear Carolina blue. So,
well, I told you the other day on the phone that Frank Quayle gets the credit for the great line referring to Carolina blue on a football uniform as sissy blue. Doesn't necessarily give you the sense of a real rough-and-tumble football player to go out there in that light blue, but nevertheless, Virginia with a highly successful afternoon in Chapel Hill.
You know, just some, you know, initial thoughts. Getting to the stadium early like that and taking the elevator up to the press box, you're looking down into the stadium, and it's a very attractive stadium, very well maintained, very clean, well designed, and a little bit more of the old school with the addition of those third level sort of overhang, which sort of look modern and out of place. But
pretty much a full house today.
Pretty much a full house. I don't recall what they said the attendance was, but I remember at kickoff, they were still trickling in, filtering in. It was a very beautiful day, and being a 12 noon Raycom game, you know, everybody has a hard time gearing up for a ball game that early. But a good crowd and a polite crowd.
Particularly the students.
Right. The students were late arriving. That's for sure.
Long Friday night on Franklin Street, apparently.
Anyhow, just some thoughts about the game itself. The first thing that occurred to me leaving the stadium post-game and after all the interviews was, you know, something clearly happened on the way to Chapel Hill. The coaches made some major adjustments in all three phases of the team during the bye week. The players watched a replay, so I'm told, of the fourth quarter victory at Maryland back in 2007. Mikel Simpson and Vic Hall and Chris Cook apparently all got well. The Hoos ran onto the field at Keenan Stadium, led by captains Cook, Hall, Barker, and Collins, who walked in very slowly and deliberately, and they were holding hands below their waist, very methodical, almost like a machine marching into the stadium. And it sort of set the tone and kind of reminded me of that football game years ago, the bowl game, one of those tire bowls down in Charlotte. But the team ran on the field and got fired up and did all their stretching and all that, and beautiful day, perfect weather, mid-70s, no wind at all. Anyway, not sure if any UVA football team in the last 20 years has ever entered an away ACC opener with so much pressure, having lost the first three games. But the result, obviously a resounding 16-3 win over their oldest rival. UVA's defense set the tone early, particularly Steve Greer at linebacker, and they just never really let up. A good pass rush and stingy run defense forced Carolina into numerous punts and two INTs. UVA offense protected the ball well and managed to generate points when the opportunities arose. Mikel Simpson ran for 100 yards and averaged about 5 yards a carry. The quarterback, Jameel Sewell, played a cool game, never lost his composure even after some tough sacks and some penalties that brought the ball back, even after a perfect throw in the second quarter to Chris Byrd that we were thrilled to see. The special teams even produced their best effort yet. Three made field goals by Robert Randolph, his best game yet as a Who. Even kicked a 43-yarder that looked like it might be good from 45, 46, 47 yards. The special teams recovered a fumble on a punt where Jimmy Howell sort of rolled out rugby style and kicked an end-over-end ball that hit one of the linemen for Carolina.
And that was a big play in the game.
I think so. I noticed we've got some calls that have come in. Let's take your first call. You're on Who's Talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. This was getting your perspective. From what I've read, CBA's kind of had their number. They've won six out of the last seven, and it's a ACC win. So, you know, they're undefeated in the ACC. That's huge, and along with Maryland and Tech. And, you know, regardless of what they did outside of the conference right now, they're undefeated in the conference. I think that's huge. And I want to also get your perspective on I'll hang up and listen. How many turnovers did Carolina have? Thanks a lot.
Well, to my knowledge, I distinctly remember three. I remember the two interceptions, one made at the end of the game by Chris Cook that sealed the deal. And it was that was incredibly well defended by the whole defense in that play. I also remember an excellent hit by, I think, Jenkins. One of our pass rushers slammed into the quarterback, T.J. Yates, and Yates threw what amounted to as an alley-oop ball out to the flat, and Chase Minifield dove after running halfway across the field. He dove and laid out and made a nice catch.
And as I recall, that was the interception that led to the touchdown drive that really kind of sealed the game. And I looking at the stats here, they do list one fumble, but I think that was on the punt that you referenced a couple of moments ago. As far as the win in the league, you know, the 1-0, it just as the caller mentioned, interesting perspective. Maryland 1-0, the only undefeated team in the Atlantic Division. Virginia and Virginia Tech undefeated in the Coastal. Looking at the schedule, and we're maybe getting ahead of ourselves, but Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, big game on the 17th of October. Virginia goes to Maryland that day, so it's conceivable that if Georgia Tech beats Virginia Tech in Atlanta and Virginia wins it at Maryland, they could be in first place in their division in a couple of weeks, but we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. It's all about psychology right now, isn't
right.
it? Let's take your next caller. This is Frank on Who's Talking. Can we help you?
Yeah, Frank.
Go ahead. What's your question?
Looking ahead to next week, Indiana. Do you know anything about Indiana's offense? Have they faced a 3-4? And give me your thoughts about what we're looking at ahead next Saturday.
Very good. This is Lee, right?
Yes.
Lee, the Hoosiers are coming off two brutal losses. They lost a nail-biter to Michigan at the Big House, in which they broke off a long run in the fourth quarter that gave them a huge lead. Psychologically, but then Michigan rallied with a big drive of their own and then I think forced a turnover maybe and was able to pull the victory out. The other game most recently was a home game against Ohio State. And interestingly enough, for much of the game, it was a dead heat, very close score. But then in the second half, sort of midway through the third quarter, Ohio State pulled away. Did some research on Indiana. They've got a quarterback who's a junior named Ben Chappell. To date, he has completed 104 passes for 1,154 yards. He's got five touchdowns under his belt, but he's also thrown six INTs. Most of those, I believe, have come in the last 2 weeks. He's only been sacked five times, which tells me that their offensive line is pretty good. He's only averaging about 7.04 yards per catch, which leads me also to think that he's throwing a lot of short balls and trying to give his receivers a chance to make a play for him. running backs are Darius Willis, a 20-year-old freshman. How do you do that? Demetrius McCray, a 23-year-old senior. Both of these guys are averaging about 5 yards a carry. So this is a solid defense, typical Big Ten, I think. They rely on the run. And then they look for their opportunity to try to burn you with a quick out pattern or maybe up the field pass. The wide receivers are Tandon Doss and DeMarlo Belcher. And these guys are pretty good. I noticed that Indiana averages about 25 points a game. This will be a worthy opponent for Virginia. It's a huge game, and it will have some weight. If Virginia can win this game, I think it could mean a lot and could set them up nicely going into the away game at Maryland. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, you're trying to build momentum with this game. Certainly Indiana's not going to come in intimidated, having played Michigan at the Big House in front of 100,000-plus and played one of the top 10 teams in the country in Ohio State. So certainly a game that they would come to Charlottesville hoping to get back on the winning track. They come in 3-2 on the campaign. So should be a very, very competitive game in Charlottesville. And a game, as you say, Frank, I mean, Virginia off the North Carolina win, if they can come home and get this one, build a little momentum, go to Maryland the following week, then all of a sudden the season looks a whole lot different.
Lee, let me ask you a question. Do you think this is a turning point in the season for UVA?
I think it's a turning point to keep their momentum going. I don't think it is for the season because it's not an ACC game, but I think if they have a positive outcome this week, it's going to be great going ahead to the full ACC schedule coming up.
What positives would Virginia fans hang their hat on, so to speak, at this point in the season to lead us all to think that maybe the team could go on a hot streak and win some games in a row?
Well, I think two things. One is they got to score at least three or four touchdowns and have the defense play like they did last week. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, the defense last week in Chapel Hill was really, really good. And I think you have to give the coaches credit for a lot of things. One, you know, keeping the team very positive, going to Chapel Hill 0-3. Certainly the effort was there, which is what coaches are always looking for. And from Coach Groh's standpoint, since he takes a personal interest and involvement with the Virginia defense, have to give him a lot of credit for preparation. Because just looking at the stats, I think North Carolina had 23 rushing attempts for a total of 39 yards. So they did virtually nothing on the ground, which allowed the pass rush to put pressure on the quarterback and force some of those turnovers and really keep North Carolina off the scoreboard.
So you guys think that we may be stacking it up on the line at the get-go to try to force them to pass more frequently than you may want to?
I would think that Virginia would. I noticed one thing about the Carolina game, really from the very first defensive series. You know, Virginia had deferred after winning the toss and kicked off and did a decent job on getting the ball deep in the end zone. I believe the Carolina player downed it. So the play, first down was, you know, on the 20-yard line. And I think right away Carolina tried to set their tailback up, and Steve Greer shot through the gap and drilled him. And it sort of set the tone for the whole game. And I would think Virginia is looking maybe to run blitz with some of their linebackers to try to confuse Indiana, and then at the same time try to make sure that those two wideouts don't get free deep. So I think that's going to be an interesting challenge for UVA.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think from an offensive standpoint, certainly there were signs of progress in Chapel Hill, particularly McKill Simpson. He apparently got some motivation from that Maryland game tape that they may have watched prior to the game. But nevertheless, offensively, improvement, continue to play well on defense. But anyway, we thank you for the call. We're going to take a moment here to go to break. We will be back after the break with our guest, Ron Carey.
Yep.